Today on The Dwelling Place, Pastor Al Pittman talks once again about benevolence. If you want to be benevolent, you have to have faith.
It takes faith to be benevolent. It takes faith to be good to folks. And we need to have that kind of faith, because if you're not careful, you'll be living according to the economy of the world rather than to the economy of the kingdom. And our minds and mentalities begin to get formed by what's happening on the news rather than what's happening in the good news. And we have to be very careful.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Thanks for joining us today for The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. Al serves as senior pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. If you're a regular listener, you know that we have spent the last couple of months in the book of Romans. And today we continue our look at Romans 15. Pastor Al will spend the next four broadcasts discussing the ways we can use our faith to minister to others. First of all, we can be benevolent. That's a word that isn't used a lot these days, but the dictionary defines benevolence as being well-meaning and kindly. How does that translate to a demonstration of our faith? Let's find out. Here's Pastor Al.
If you have your Bibles, please open to Romans chapter 15. And I've entitled this message, The Ministry of Faith, because there are two ministries going on here within our text that we find in Romans 15, verses 25 to 33. It's the ministry of benevolence and the ministry of prayer. We're going to talk about prayer next week. But today we're going to talk about the ministry of benevolence. And it's an important ministry within the church. This is an important message, I believe, for us today. And we'll see why in just a moment. Verse 25 of Romans 15. We read this verse last week. We'll read it again this morning. He said, "But now I am going to Jerusalem." This is Paul the apostle now saying, kind of wrapping up his letter to the church in Rome and saying he's on his way to Jerusalem now to minister to the saints. Verse 26, "For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles had been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you by Spain, or to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." We'll read on to verse 33. He says, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." So there's two acts of ministry of faith going on here, and that is that of benevolence and prayer. Like I said, we're going to talk about benevolence this morning, looking at verses, in particular, verses 25 to 29. You know, when Jesus was 12 years old, this story is recorded in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 50. He chastised his parents. And many of you know the story of how he went to Jerusalem with his parents and their entourage and a bunch of friends, relatives and all. And they, in those days, would travel in caravans or to go to Passover to Jerusalem up to the city, and then they would come back together. It was kind of a party there and a party when you get there and a party when you leave. It was just a great time of celebration. And on the way back, Jesus turned up missing. And so the parents went looking for him like any parents would. And after looking for 3 days in Jerusalem, they finally found him in the temple. And what Jesus said to them sounds a little disrespectful, but he was being biblical. He was being very accurate in his comment. As he said in Luke chapter 2, verses 49 and 50, he said, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" And it sounds like, that he was being maybe disrespectful, but actually he was making a point, and I think it's a point that's connected to this message, and that is that, you know, we live in a time that is an age, rather, that's plagued with fear and polarization on every front, you know, fueled by godless ideologies and, you know, opinions and bias and prejudice and all that. And the question is, how can we as believers keep our minds on our Father's business rather than being conformed, if you will, to the business of the world? In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, and Paul writes there, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And I find here within our text two good and acceptable transforming aspects of Christian living that really are essential to our message as the church and our mission as the church. And those two things are benevolence and prayer. And again, today we will talk about benevolence. And this is a ministry of faith because it takes faith to be benevolent. It takes faith to be good to folks. And we need to have that kind of faith, because if you're not careful, you'll be living according to the economy of the world rather than to the economy of the kingdom. And our minds and mentalities begin to get formed by what's happening on the news rather than what's happening in the good news. And we have to be very careful. So we want to talk about that today. And this message is to remind us of our Father's business, so to speak. And we're to be about our Father's business, and often wonder many times when Jesus returns, will he find us about our Father's business? You know, Jesus was said that to his parents, and it sounds like he was being disrespectful. But in a sense, he was saying, you know what? You mean to tell me for 3 days you looked in the store and in the hideouts, the alleys, and all these kind of places, you never came to the temple? Did you not know to where to find me? If you ever need to know where I'm at, I'm about my Father's business. Well, Jesus, when he comes, will have to pull us out of bars and strip joints and out of illicit relationships and all these other things to bring us to himself? Or will we be about our Father's business? Are we about our Father's business? Are we living according to the economy of heaven or the economy of this world? Benevolence and prayer are really two ways in which we can serve one another within the body of Christ. There's two ways which we can serve our Father. Two ways we can employ ourselves in our Father's business, what he is about, benevolence and prayer. And so Paul says here in verse 25, he says, you know, this going to Jerusalem is not like a little vacation, a little R&R. He said, I'm going there to minister to the saints. And you Bible students know that the word minister means to serve. So benevolence, first and foremost, I say, is an act of service. Not something I got to do. I got to be nice to people. No, we serve people, and we serve, in particular, I'm speaking to the body of Christ. We serve the body of Christ. There's a lot of good works out there in the world and stuff, but if we can't be good to one another here, how can we ever be good to the world out there? You know, it has to start at home, amen? So Paul is speaking here about, you know, benevolence, ministering, serving the church, and the church serving one another. So let's look at benevolence today. A ministry of faith, because it does take faith, amen, because you got to live according to the economy of God's kingdom and not this world, and react to one another according to the economy of God's kingdom and not to the economy of this world. But that word benevolence, just to break it down, is defined by the dictionary as any inclination to do good, goodwill, kindness, or charitableness. James put it this way, James chapter 4, verse 17. He said, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. If you know it's good to forgive someone and you don't do it, it is sin. See, he's not just talking about giving money here. He's talking about our life. Benevolence, you could say, is really our lifestyle as believers. To him who knows to do good, doesn't do it, it is sin. If you know that it would be good to do something for someone, or you have the ability to do something for someone, and you know that you can bless them and you don't do it, to know to do good and to not do it, it is sin. And Paul was on his way to deliver a financial gift from the believers in Greece, the area of Macedonia and Achaia, in modern-day Greece. Achaia is modern-day Greece today. He was going to deliver that, was delivering his gift to the poor within the church at Jerusalem. And so he had taken his collection from the Gentile believers to bless the poor in the church at Jerusalem. And the details of this collection, if you were taking notes, can be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Now, he does so as he plans to go to Rome. Go to Rome in the fullness of the blessing, he says here in verse 29. In the fullness of the blessing. What is the fullness of the blessing? It is the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Later on, in later translations of the Greek New Testament, they added that latter part of verse 29 of the gospel of Christ. But it's consistent with the word of God. It's not heresy. But that blessing he's speaking about is the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But historians tell us, biblical historians, church historians tell us that Paul, his plan was to, hey, I'm going to stop by on my way to Spain. But what happened is Paul ended up going to Rome, many of you know, as a prisoner. He spent 2 years in prison there. And when he was released, history's a little fuzzy about where Paul went. Did he go east or did he continue on and go to Spain? Now, you know, I kind of like to think he went on to Spain, but some believe that he may have gone back east because of some of his epistles and his letters that he had written to churches from prison in Rome. But we don't know if he made it to Spain. The earliest evidence of the church being in Spain didn't turn up until about 300 A.D. So, you know, we're not certain if Paul ever reached Spain. I kind of like to think that he did. But that was his plan. But, you know, of course, God has his plans. And but he said, I want to come to you in the fullness of the gospel. So when I get to Rome, I'm going to come to you in the fullness of the gospel. And boy, he did arrive in Rome, even though he's a prisoner, in the fullness of the gospel. And I think there's a great lesson there for us is that we cannot claim to walk in the fullness of the gospel if we have a heart that is empty of Christian charity and godly love. How can we say that I can come to you in the fullness of the gospel and yet I have no charity in my heart for anybody and all I'm doing is thinking about myself? If I'm going to come in the fullness of the gospel, I must come in the fullness of love.
Boy, that's pretty convicting. We say we love each other and we care about others, but do we actually put those words into practice? Pastor Al will be back with the second half of today's message in a few moments. I want to thank you for being a faithful listener to The Dwelling Place. Would you pray about partnering with us financially? To join our support team, please give us a call at 844-221-3363 or visit our website at cwccs.org. We have some exciting news to share. We have officially launched our new podcast called Uncuffed. You can find our Uncuffed podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. So make sure you subscribe to the Uncuffed podcast today. And I'm delighted to say The Dwelling Place is on oneplace.com. You can hear these daily programs via the oneplace.com app on your mobile devices. Or go to oneplace.com on your computer and listen when it's most convenient. So what is Christian charity? What does it look like? Here's Pastor Al with part two of today's message in Romans 15, titled, The Ministry of Faith.
And Paul reveals here and describes for us what Christian charity is really all about. It's not just putting a dollar in the plate. It's not putting something in the mail, a check in the mail, and sending it off to someone. But it's really our lives. And there are three characteristics we find here within verses 25 and 29 that reveal to us what true Christian benevolence is to accomplish and what it looks like. Number one, true Christian benevolence is a partnership. We are part of one another as Christians. You're a part of me, I'm a part of you. And when we give and when we bless the church, we bless the body, when we give in the offering boxes or when we bless another part of the body, help somebody move or do whatever it is, some act of benevolence, it enriches the rest of the body. Benevolence is a partnership. You say, well, where's partnership here? Well, when he mentions that word in verse 26, contribution, that the church, the Gentiles took a certain contribution, that word contribution is from the Greek word koinonia. And many of you Christians have heard that before. We always talk about koinonia, fellowship. It means fellowship. It does. But it also means partnership, literally participation or social intercourse. In other words, we ought to be involved in one another's lives. Now, you know, I'm not meaning that you can't be involved in everybody's life in here, but you ought to be attached and have relationships within the church of Jesus Christ. We ought to have social intercourse. If you come to church and you say, we don't want to know anybody and be with anybody, I just slip in and slip out. How can we say we're part of the body of Jesus Christ? You're a part of the body of Christ. When a body hurts, the rest of us should hurt. You know, when I fell down and hurt my elbow, Amen. My toes knew about it. And I don't know how they got the message. I mean, just my elbow, but my toes were talking to me. My ears were talking to me. The whole body hurt. And the whole body came to rescue. And your arm swells and does those things because your body is trying to protect itself, you see. And so when the body hurts, you know, we need to realize we're in a partnership together and we need to minister to one another. That's why I encourage people to get involved in small groups. Get involved in some small group, you know, and whether it's a home fellowship or a Bible study or something. We've got tons of them. The women have like 15 million of them or something in this church. But we have tons of women Bible studies. The men, their Bible studies are growing. Small groups that men meet, you know, throughout the week, and they all just meet on Sunday. So it's throughout the week. Get involved. Ask a question. Call the office. What small groups do you have? We'll be happy to tell you. There's information out on the walls, and we do that for a purpose, not to decorate the place, but so that we encourage fellowship. And there's a real blessing to being in connected with fellowship, because with the fellowship, because, you know, if you're in a home fellowship group, man, if you need to move, you got a whole moving crew right there. Amen. You just show up and say, I'm moving Monday, you know, and, you know, they're going to show up because they love you and they want to help you. If someone is sick or someone's hurt, you know, people respond to you. It's a lonely feeling to be in a room full of this many people as a believer and feel like the loneliest person in the world. It ought not to be that way. But you know what? He who shows himself to be friendly has friends. You know, when nobody spoke to me, who'd you speak to? You know, this is a partnership. It's a two-way street. And so, you know, God wants to use you to bless someone else and use the body to be a blessing to the body. And so, you know, it's important that we understand that when we are benevolent to one another, whether that's giving financially or giving of our time or showing kindness and love, that we are enriching the body of Christ. It's a partnership. And this partnership is born out of a sense of indebtedness. A sense of indebtedness. Paul said there in verse 27, he said, it pleased them indeed, and they are in debt. They are debtors. They are debtors. They are their debtors. They're, in other words, the Gentiles are debtors to the Jews. What is Paul saying here? What do you mean they're debtors? They're like, they borrowed money from the Church of Jerusalem? Or, you know, what he's saying there is that, you know, because God revealed himself through the Jewish nation and the roots of Christianity is in the Jewish faith, that we as the church are indebted to the Jews for the fact that God revealed himself through the Jewish nation. And Paul spent a lot of time talking about that in Romans chapter 11. If you want to go back and read it, we've studied it already. Go back and look at that, what he means. He says, hey, you know what? You may be the branches, but you've been grafted in for one thing. The other thing is that, you know, don't start boasting in yourself, because remember, the root system is of the Jewish people. And God has not forgotten his people, even to this day. So he's saying they're debtors because we have benefited spiritually. They ought to bless them materially. Amen. And so for us as Christians, how do we that apply to us? Well, I think it applies to the fact, applies in this way, that we are indebted to one another as well. I think that when you experience God's great benevolence toward you, God's great love for you, that you there's a sense of benevolence, a sense of indebtedness that you have to the body of Christ. You want to serve the body of Christ. You want to reach out to others. You want to be a blessing to other people because you feel indebted, not because you owe people stuff, not because somebody, you know, I hate that. Someone does something good for me and then I got to do something good for them. And then if I do something good for them, they got to do something good for me. You know, the obligation thing. No, this is out of love for one another. I'm indebted to you because we're all indebted to Jesus Christ. You know, we don't owe each other anything but to love one another. Look at Romans 13, just turn a couple of pages over, verse 8. And Paul says in verse 8 of Romans 13, he says, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Drop down to verse 10. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this knowing the time, and now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. You know, I mean, we don't have time to be playing games anymore, is what Paul is saying here. He says, do this, love one another, have a sense of indebtedness to one another, loving each other with a sense of indebtedness, and not realizing what time is. The time is getting late. Jesus is coming soon. Now, Paul had written this many, you know, a long time ago. And some may be sitting there going, well, Jesus is coming soon, he hasn't come yet. But I always tell you, you know, if you've been around here, you've always heard me say, you know, if he's not coming, you're going. So you're going to meet each other either way, you see, because your time's running out. And those of us who've been Christians for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, you know, our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. So you may argue that, oh, he hasn't come, you know. And the Bible said there would be scoffers in the last days who would say, oh, the Lord said he's the one to be coming and he hasn't come yet. Hey, but you're going. And he's saying to you, you know, since we know what time it is, he says, listen, he said in verse 12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly in the day, not in the reveling, in drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, but not in strife and envy. See a lot of strife, a lot of envy in the church today because we don't believe this. We think we have all this time, but he's coming and we're going. Verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Amen? So the first thing we need to understand, you know what? We need to put on Christ. We need to love each other. You know, we need to owe each other, live a lifestyle of partnership, of realizing we're in partnership with one another. We owe each other love. And as we love each other through benevolence, through benevolent acts, the whole body, Calvary Worship Center, is enriched and built up and strengthened in the Lord. Here's the second thing, the characteristic of true Christian benevolence is not only partnership, but it's also fruitfulness. In verse 28, back in Romans 15, and Paul says there, therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. Again, Paul thought I'm just going to swing on by and say hi to you guys, and I'm going to head on to Spain, but God took him a different route. But fruitfulness, our benevolence ought to be fruitful. There's benevolence in the church. Benevolence is the fruitfulness, and it's really the fruit of the Spirit. You say the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, and all. You know, fruit of the Spirit is goodness. And so benevolence is goodness. And so this gift he's taking is not some payoff or, you know, extortion money, but it is fruit of God's grace in the hearts of the Gentiles manifested through their willingness to give to the poor in Jerusalem.
You've been listening to The Dwelling Place with our Bible teacher, Pastor Al Pittman, the pastor of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. As we close things out today, we want to remind you that you can hear today's message at our website, cwccs.org. We can also supply you with a CD copy when you call 844-221-3363. That's 844-221-3363. And you can listen to Pastor Al in The Dwelling Place on all Alexa-enabled and Google Home devices. Simply search for oneplace.com in the Skills section of the Alexa app on your phone and hit the Enable button. Now you say, Alexa, ask One Place to play The Dwelling Place. Or on Google Home devices, say, Hey Google, ask One Place to play The Dwelling Place. We have some exciting news to share. We have officially launched our new podcast called Uncuffed. You can find our Uncuffed podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. So make sure you subscribe to the Uncuffed podcast today. At The Dwelling Place, we pray that your walk with Jesus Christ has been strengthened by these messages. And we're grateful to those who choose to partner with us to see this ministry continue and even expand. To make a secure donation, drop by cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. That's GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also write to us at Calvary Worship Center, 505 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. If you missed any of that, it's all available at cwccs.org. If you're in the Colorado Springs area, visit us at Calvary Worship Center. We'd love to welcome you this weekend. Join us at our Westside Campus or our Creekside Campus. You can find service times and directions for both on our website, and we hope to see you soon. This has been The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, a presentation of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.